In today's Nutrition and Life episode, I speak with sober ultra runner Henry Ward. Henry and I spoke about how to tap into reserves when you think you have nothing left in the tank, how community and recovery make all the difference, and digging yourself out of the middle lull of any goal pursuit. I'm excited for you to listen to my conversation with Henry, and please, if you enjoy this show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. Now on to my conversation with Henry. Hello and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with sober ultra runner Henry Ward. Henry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure. I look forward to hearing all about your training, programming, what you do now, what you're excited about in the next few months. But before we get into those kind of details, I would simply love to start off with your story. Tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today in terms of training and just your journey in general.
Oh, my goodness. Where do I start? Okay, so I was born in 1970 in Waltham, Massachusetts. I'm 54 years old. I currently reside in Chandler, Arizona. I live most of my life in Massachusetts. And for 22 years, I had some pretty hard times. I was an active addict and alcoholic. My life was completely unmanageable. And I was pretty hopeless. I had a lot of fears and character defects. I was a shell of myself. And I finally decided to get help. So November 17th, 2008, I guess you would say that was my rock bottom. I was tired of being tired and decided to put all my faith in the God and AA and the recovery program and entered into a treatment facility, which ultimately saved my life. Initially I was going there to kind of save my marriage. But what I didn't know was, I may or may not be able to save that, but I had to work on myself. I had to stop drinking. It's one thing to stop drinking, but it's another thing to be able to live life on life's terms. So I had no idea I was going to be learning those skills. I basically got an education on myself, and they gave me tools to learn how to navigate life on life's terms. Life things are always going to happen to you. Always, forever and ever. And it seems the older I get, the more they happen. But I've given the tools on how to deal with them properly and not be a victim or blame somebody else. So, so I was going to AA meetings and did the 12 steps, treatment, everything went well. Moved back from Arizona, went to treatment here in Arizona, moved back to Massachusetts where I grew up. And for a couple of years, I wasn't really going to that many meetings. I wasn't really working a program. And I started slipping into old habits. I had no urge to drink. Like when I gave up, that was it. It was a miracle that the urge was lifted. You know, I just asked God to remove that urge. And it was like, poof. You know, they say you have to be 100% ready to be done. I was 100%. But that doesn't mean that if I don't continue to work on myself, I'm not going to be a squirrely mess or a jerk. Could use a few profanity words. But I was kind of neurotic. And I'd have everything done, all my chores done, my errands done, and nothing to do. I had all this energy inside of me. And I started walking distance. And then I had this crazy idea, like, if I could run, I could go further and get there faster. And do you want me to dive right into how I found running or how it found me? Okay, so we were going to visit our friends in Corning, New York. So six hour road trip. We visited them a couple different times, and my friends both worked at Corning Glass there, and they had a glass festival over Memorial Day weekend. I was looking at the different events. They had glass blowing. They had street vendors, food, music. They had a juggler. They had a clown. They had a bunch of different things going on. And they had an 8K road race, and I know that my friend had started running. So I just simply asked him, hey, I noticed there's a GlassFest 8K, not even knowing how far that was, if he was running. And he's like, I will if you do. I'm like, sign me up. I need something. I was looking for a hobby. And so I ran twice, pushing my son, who was 1.5 years old, in his stroller, and felt that I was pretty prepared for this distance, this unknown distance. I didn't even know how far it was. But anyways, yeah, so I show up and like everything was great for about 30 seconds. And I started off too strong, and yeah, I got humbled. Like all of a sudden I felt like walking almost. I was completely winded. Everything started bothering me. And just like keep going, keep going. And I literally wanted to like everybody that passed me, I wanted to like try and trip them. Yeah. Like elbow them or something. Like I was so disappointed. Like I really thought I was gonna like this running thing. The two training runs I went on were spectacular, and I reaped the benefits mentally, physically, and spiritually immediately. And then I got to the halfway point. I'm like, well, I don't know where I'm going. I might as well follow the rest of these idiots. And then keep going. I saw my wife with about 1 mile left, my friend's wife, our friend, and I could see the finish line. And it went from like, this was horrible to like, oh my God, I'm going to do this. And so I started, adrenaline kicked in. I started pushing, pushing, pushing hard. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to finish. I didn't realize that you have to go all the way around the track at the high school to get to the inflatable finish line. So I almost had to stop to walk. My legs were screaming. I was completely gassed, but I finished it. It was almost like I won like a gold medal, like an Olympic medal. I felt like I was so proud of myself for not quitting. It was really, really hard, but in the back of my mind, what kept me going was like, I've been through much harder times, 22 years of hard times. I had some really, really rough days mentally. And I got through that. So I like that's kind of like my superpower. I got through that, I can get through anything. So I've kind of used that mantra, that mentality in longer distance races that I have escalated up to. So yeah, no, I started there and was doing mostly local 5Ks. And I found that like back in Waltham, Massachusetts, there was a race series. And so I started doing the 5Ks. And what I found was people from high school that had found running also, and that this running community was made up of a bunch of people just trying to better their lives. A lot of people I found that like were in recovery from addiction also, weight loss, depression, anxiety. I found that running really helped them just by having conversations. So the community that I caused a lot of damage to, like physically and to my reputation, open accepted me with open arms, and I had a whole new group of friends and a new hobby. And then yeah, then I escalated up to marathon distance, and that I was obsessed with seeing how many marathons I could do in a year. And I found that I had this endurance gene and good health. And then I found out about ultra marathons, and like, why would anybody in their right mind want to do an ultra marathon? For those of you who don't know, is anything more than the traditional 26.2 miles of a marathon. And like this guy, nothing in moderation for this alcoholic and addict. I want to know what it feels like. More, more, more. Give me more. But yeah, so I did a few 50 milers and a 100 miler. I've done a bunch of 100 milers and a few other things we can get into in a little bit, but that's
That's
kind of how it all
amazing.
started.
Thank you so much, Henry, for giving us a bit of an insight into your background, and I love it. I love how you channeled your rock bottom to propel you out of it, and to more than that, you're nowadays inspiring other people to do, well, maybe not necessarily the same thing, but to also work on their mental toughness and turn their lives around from things that are not serving them or their community. So I think it's beautiful to see how what you've achieved and what you're doing with all of this. And I mean, whatever, I think whatever method we have or whatever our thing is, if it's running or if it's Spartan races or if it is any kind of passion and any kind of purpose we can put into this life, I think it's just so beautiful to see. And if we have a healthy body, and it automatically helps us keep our minds healthy and vice versa, obviously. So I think it's truly beautiful to see. And one thing that you mentioned was you had kind of a victim mindset beforehand, or kind of like this, I can't do anything, or blaming other things or something like that, your circumstances perhaps, and then you changed that around. You hit rock bottom and you said, no more of that. I'm owning up to everything. I'm taking responsibility for where I am in my life. And I just really wanted to highlight that, because I think without that, we're never gonna make permanent changes, and we're never really gonna go far in life if we all, because there's always something we can find to blame. But in truth, even if something might not be our fault, it is still our responsibility, as if it's in our life, whatever that might be. So yeah, I just really wanted to highlight that because I thought that was so beautiful.
Correct. Yeah, it's a mindset shift. It's a perspective. Again, life things are always going to happen, but it's how we deal with them. And I always kind of go back to like the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity for the things that I cannot change. And like, if I can't change something, if it's out of my control, then I got to let it go. And try not to stress about that person in traffic or that line in the store. Just, we're meant to be in the present moment right there, observing, not in our phones, not, anything that's out of our control, I just try to let it go.
I think that's awesome. That, but then at the same time, taking control of the things that we can control, because again, like our health, our body, so many things we do have influence over. We don't have control over, but we have influence over. So, illnesses still pop up, or injuries still pop up, that kind of stuff that we don't necessarily have control over. But what we put into our body, how much we move, all this, how much we sleep, how much we prioritize recovery, all this is in our control.
Action and taking the next right step. What's the next right step? And those little steps add up to the solution or the goal, or at least in the right direction.
Well, that's, yeah, beautiful, absolutely. And I do want to talk about like how someone who might be listening to this, who wants to start something, maybe not as extreme like an ultra, but who wants to turn their life around a little bit, what action they can take. I do want to talk about that. But first, I would love to just hear about your current training program. So like, what are you working towards in 2025? And for running an ultra, how much training do you actually have to invest in terms of times, in terms of miles? Of course, I realize that that varies over the course of the season. But yeah, give us an insight into what Henry's program looks like at the moment.
Okay, so right now I'm kind of in recovery maintenance mode. On Friday, so in 3 days, I'm doing what's called the Mesa, like Mesa, Arizona, Mesa Marathon Quad, which is basically four consecutive marathons. This would be the fifth year I've done that, and I've done it six years for Boston and then one for the Arizona Rock and Roll. Again, I started with an 8K. There was a progression and ran a lot of marathons. And what it takes to do that is it's a mindset. It's staying in the moment, having a good fitness base. There's all sorts of different philosophies. Some people run 100, 120 mile weeks, ramp up, just do different blocks of that. And some people will do back to back to back long runs. That's another thing. Just ultra running is kind of practicing running tired. And other people like me that really doesn't have that much time. Well, let me change that. I could have the time, but I'm not willing to sacrifice family time, work, sleep. So I'm pretty practical and resourceful. I do practice running tired, so I might go to track after doing legs the day before, something like that. I will do a long run on tired legs. In long run, I don't do like I used to get 20 or 30 mile runs in like every weekend and sometimes back to back. I don't really have the time for that now. So when I do it, I will do it on tired legs, meaning like I will do it after a long day at work on my feet or a day after doing legs. I do speed work on every Wednesday. I do track, so using my bigger muscles. When you're doing ultra running, you're more shuffling. I'll get a few shuffle runs in there, kind of I call them like recovery runs. And then I do strength training at the gym. And just kind of really work on my body, just staying healthy, and recovery is always built in. I do something like for recovery every day, and it might be like yesterday went and got this that's a little bit extreme, but yesterday we went and got like a Thai and Swedish massage combo. I always like to get something like that before a big event and then something after for recovery. But I'll use like the massage guns, like the Theraguns in the gym, the jacuzzi. I stretch, I'll foam roll, and just have that built into my day every day. And then, yeah, I do strength training just about every day, maybe 6 days a week. And I feel like I've had no injuries. I feel like that's been able to keep me running at a competitive level at this age. And I have a lot of friends that are always kind of banged up. They want to run every day or 6 days a week, and they don't really have any recovery or recovery runs built in, and they break down. I personally can't do that, or I could never do like a streak run. I can never. I have some friends that run streaks. I just couldn't do that because little things here and there start adding up, and they never go away. Yeah, and then trying to get plenty of sleep at night—that's important to me too. Or a power nap during the day. Every day is a for me is a long day. If I can sleep for 20 minutes in my car or just go home really quick and take a little bit of espresso and food and keep going, and that's what I do.
That's awesome. I think it's so great to hear how much you're emphasizing recovery. And I truly agree with what you say that I think it's key in order to be able to do that long term. You know, someone might be able to withstand not making recovery a priority for like a season or two or maybe even three, but eventually those things catch up with you if you just keep training through injuries or all these niggly pains, and then they turn into like proper issues. And so I think it's really important. But at the same time, I also like and that sounds contradictory, but in my mind, and clearly not in yours, it's not if you say you're also doing runs fatigued. I think there's a very big difference between that, because that's number one, it's intentional. You know that that will help you be in even better
100%.
shape on your running, on your competitions, because you're exactly mentally, but
Mentally.
also your body, you're not always training in, you know, with at the perfect time of the day, with the perfect nutrition, with the perfect, that's what we want to do on race day. Yes, sure, absolutely. But on training days, in your case, it makes absolute sense to force yourself to sometimes train when you're tired, when maybe nutrition wasn't the best, when you've had a tough workout the day before, and so on. So it absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, so like for this Mesa Marathon quad thing, I started the finish line the day before, like the Friday morning, go to the start line, do one marathon, go to the finish line, do two, and the third one, it's uphill because the downhill course, I'll take a little bit of extra time and give myself just a little bit of time to rest or sleep real quick, and try to leave something in the tank for the actual marathon. But of course, during the actual marathon, I have 78, 80 miles under my belt on my legs and my body. You know, I'm not going to be in optimum form, not going to be fully recovered. So that marathon, I'm going to be running tired all the time. So if I don't practice that, you know, it's going to be a sucker's walk.
For sure.
And I just want to get that done as fast as possible, like, so I don't have to do it anymore at that point.
I can totally imagine that. And one beautiful thing that you mentioned for those for the listeners, when I have my guests kind of sign up, I ask a question, you know, or questions what they want to talk about. And one thing that Henry mentioned so beautifully was that when we feel like we have nothing left in the tank, or when we're, you know, down and out, we always have another 40% or something more.
Almost.
How do we access that though? Because I mean, that's so difficult, like essentially talking against that inner voice within us.
So for me, usually I want to say it starts with nutrition. Like when you're in a calorie deficit, then your energy level starts going down, you start getting cranky, and then it's almost like I could speak for myself, maybe a few other people, a few other friends. It's almost like we start like body sensing going, oh, now my stomach's upset. I don't have any energy, and I think my calf hurts, and then my left quad hurts. Yeah, my shoulder's starting to bother me, and these are all good reasons to quit, to stop doing this. This is really hard. So you start to all those things are negative. This is really hard. I am tired. My feet hurt. Well, I would question if, you're 40 miles in a 100 miler, if your feet didn't hurt or your quad didn't start bothering, something didn't start bothering you, weren't pushing hard enough. All those things are normal, but when that happens, it's so much easier to quit, especially when you get to like a nice comfy chair, a nice aid station, or, like we have these time races where they're 500 meters or 1 mile loops. Like you're passing by your camp, you're passing by your car. Like, I'm 45 minutes away from home. I could just take off right now and be done. I don't have to do this anymore. So there's always an out. So there's that factor too. But the key is to be able to quiet those voices in the head, whether it's like, shut up, stupid. You paid good money for this. You enjoy doing this. You trained 6 months for this. Keep going. The thing I tell myself too is like, things can get better. Like I literally like had a couple events where it was really hot here in the summer. It was like 110, 112 degrees. Where things weren't getting better. But I said, if I keep just putting something, a potato chip, a ginger snap, a peanut M&M, something, and keep drinking water, keep putting food back in me, they kept throwing up. I just kept moving and walking, kept putting stuff back in. Eventually, like that nausea went away. Eventually, I got energy, and I ended up like not bragging, but I ended up finishing in fourth place. I ended up like being able to run pretty solid for 8 hours. So like the human body is pretty resilient and pretty incredible. There's a difference between being fatigued, sore, nauseous, tired, and being like ill, like need to go to the hospital, like head or heart, or compound fracture in your femur. If I had a broken bone or something like that, I have larger fish to fry. I have a family at home and responsibilities outside of this thing that I do for fun. So, 99.9% of the time, it's the pain is real, and the pain can go away too. But it's a mental struggle, and to be able to quiet, I call it like the good Fred Flintstone on the shoulder and the bad one. The bad one's like, hey, dum dum, you're fat and slow and old and whatever, and slow, quit now. And the other one's like, just eat a little bit and keep going, things could turn around. So the idea is to listen to the good Fred Flintstone, and by muscle memory, like mentally, by doing it over and over again, you know that in the past that things can get better. And it's the same thing with life. It's an analogy towards life. Like everybody hits these rough patches, but again, like you have to keep taking those action steps and eventually get through them. I heard something yesterday that's just a scene in the movie. Like the movie, there's a long movie. This is just a small little scene. You'll get through it. You things that we stressed about 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, like I don't even remember half the crap. But those things could bog you down. They have bogged me down. And today I don't even really think about them. So it's important to kind of stay in the moment and like literally just keep moving forward, whether it's in life or a race. I don't want to sound braggy, but I did a 250 mile race out here called Cocodona 250. And I ended up like I have an author friend that encouraged me to write a book about it. I had written another book, and he's like, okay. I told him like every little aid station from point A to point B is like a chapter. He's like, well, there you go. There we go. Why? He's like, you got to write a book about it. So I decided to call it One Inch at a Time, and like sometimes that's what it was. Like just let's just get to the next station. Just keep moving forward. If you're standing still, you're stagnant. You're not going anywhere, obviously. So I would just kind of keep moving. Just was just go in that direction, not get lost.
I think that's a
And
really
sometimes you have to
great takeaway
do that
for
in life too.
everyone. As you said, like essentially just focusing on the next step. I think sometimes we get overwhelmed with the entire picture when it's like, oh, I've got 50 pounds to lose, or I'm never gonna, finish that race because I still have another 50 miles left or so. If you think of that it seems really, really big. But if you just think, I want to make it to the next race, to the next aid station or so, it helps so much. And I think overall, when it comes to any endeavor, they often talk about In the beginning, we have this obviously high motivation. You're refreshed, you're excited, and probably people are running next to you. Or if this pertains to weight loss, you know, for some of those listening, you're excited for some change. You're excited to feel different. And at the end, we usually get another surge of energy because we're like, okay, we're so close. We can see it. It feels tangible. I've almost made it. So we get that little bit of adrenaline. But it's that middle lull where so many people fall off and they never make it to the end of whatever it is because exactly you feel like it's still so far to go, or because you physically literally feel so tired. But exactly in those moments, I think it's so important to remind yourself of exactly what you're saying, like just focus on the next little step, and that one step at a time, that's how you get to the end.
Yeah, like it's just no other way for me. Like, you know, oh my God, I'm on mile 40, day one. It's probably going to take me 5 days to do a 250 miler. And people ask, you know, how are you going to feel on day two? Or how are you going to, you know, like if you think of, oh my God, I have 210 more miles of this. No way. I can't imagine. No, you know, with 30,000 feet of climbing, we have to cross the river. No, like, you need to focus on what you're doing right now and not trip and fall and just get to that next aid station. You know, how are you going to feel the next day? I don't know, but right now I feel pretty good and that's where I should be. So,
That's
yeah,
awesome.
getting back to the moment, to the present moment.
Yeah, because that's all, in the end, that's what it's all about, right? Like if you're not present, then you're missing your entire life. But I'm really curious because you mentioned food there with regards to the nausea and stuff as well. And this is going to be very very different. So very a few people listening are going to be ultra athletes. We do have some runners listening to this as well. But many people probably are more in the weight loss sort of area. Nonetheless, I think it's very interesting just to hear what an ultra runner or anyone who's really interested endurance sports and quote unquote has to eat in order to fulfill their energy needs, and also the people listening to this who have perhaps over-exercised and under-eaten for some period of time. We do work with those as well. I think it's that is a real danger when it comes to prolonged exercise exposure and under-eating.
Yeah, so I eat, my favorite thing to eat is calories.
That's a
We
good
need,
one.
you
Yes.
know, just need energy. And I was talking to some friends this morning. What works this time and last time and the time before might not work this time. You know, it's, you kind of get palate fatigue sometimes. And also, like, the heat plays a big factor out here. But, you know, if I'm eating little bean roll-ups that are convenient, I can put in my little pack or whatever. And sustainable energy for the first couple hours. All of a sudden, I can't like swallow. I can't stomach tortillas for some reason. I get the kind of the willies and nashes. Then I got to be willing to try something else. But I'm pretty much a carb guy. Like in general, I love like pasta, tortillas, pizza, that type of stuff. Dino nuggets. Sometimes I eat whatever my son just make double mac and cheese, that type of thing. But sandwiches in general, that's kind of what I eat. I probably eat like 80-20 as far as like healthy to Wendy's ratio, that type of thing. And then during events like that Cocodona 250, I had lasagna. Like there was a lot of hiking because a lot of climbing, so my stomach wasn't as trash. They had lasagna at an aid station. They had hamburgers and hot dogs, tacos, like big burritos. So you're stopping and you're actually able to eat a meal. Less distances, say 100 miles and less. More snack food, maybe like a little bean roll-up or a little PB&J or chicken salad, half a chicken salad sandwich, whatever they really have. And if that doesn't work, like I'll mix in some of those gels between aid stations and bring kind of like snacky food just to, so I don't get behind in calories. It's just kind of like, you know, I'm behind, but I don't want to be way behind. There's no way you can eat, you know, if I burn 10,000 calories, there's no way I can eat 10,000 calories while I'm running. But I always try to make sure that I'm not behind. I'm either maintaining or being behind. So my yeah, those are kind of my go-tos. I've been known to eat pizza, I've been known to eat donuts. Anything that's like not like super greasy or spicy. I did like the Arizona Rock and Roll Quad, and I ended up like stopping at Starbucks and eating breakfast sandwiches and eating espresso, and then I had like little apple cider donuts as snacks, and that worked well that time. The Boston course, there's not much open, so I kind of have to provide my own food. But one place that was open, there's a Brazilian bakery, so they had like these little ham and cheese croissant things. These little, it was kind of like pigs in a blanket. So I'm getting fat, I'm getting carbs, a little bit of protein, a little bit of salts. Anything that I can, anything that's going to give me energy that tastes good, puts a smile on my face, and I can digest. Like somebody, like people, the coolest thing about these quad events is people will join me for different segments. So I meet new people. We share stories with people I already know, and like quite often, a lot of people like confide in me about, you know, hey, you know, I've been struggling with alcohol, and my sister, and so there's always good conversation. But people always bring food, or always stop for food. So it's kind of like, let's randomly go into this QT and see what they have. Oh, they got these little steak and cheese things rolling around, or you know, it could be a bag of Fritos, or we've gotten like frozen yogurt with like gummy worms or something, just something different to kind of, you know, to mix it up a little bit, to put a smile on your face and put some calories in your belly.
I think, yeah, you mentioned a few good points. So number one, staying ahead of the curve, I think for any kind of performance is so important to not fall behind when it, I mean, yeah, as you said, when it comes to these distances, clearly you're not able to keep up. But I imagine, especially in your training, that you're trying to refuel very well after your training session so that you're set up well for the next one. And the other good thing, or the other thing, that I liked about what you said was that nonetheless, even with all the pizza and donuts and so on, generally speaking, you aim for, 80% high quality whole foods to make sure you're also hitting your micronutrients, and beyond that, you're paying attention to what you can digest. And I think that those are principles that anyone that are important for anyone, whether they're trying to lose weight, whether they're just running a 5K or whatever, we want to optimize or make sure we optimize our digestion, and we want to make sure that we're still getting some high quality whole foods in. And when it comes to people that are trying to put on muscle, maybe like through strength training, there that are in a calorie surplus, that's often also a struggle that I see with some clients, that they're struggling to get out of the dieting mindset, and they're trying to incorporate too many things that are hard to digest. So like bowls and bowls of salad or whatever. But if you're starting to run really long distances and or trying to increase your muscle mass, at some point you're going to have to switch to, okay, I'm gonna minimize that and increase the amount of rice, increase the amount of banana, increase the amount of peanut butter or oils that I'm using in order to have easily digestible energy, as opposed to just trying to increase that through beans and cruciferous vegetables, and then ending up with a super bloated stomach and, not being able to sleep properly because your digestion is all messed up.
I think for an athlete or a bodybuilder or somebody that's trying to lose weight, somebody that needs, I mean, everybody needs food, you should always plan ahead and know what your next meal is. Like I know that now, if I go home, grab my wife, and we go to Costco, I'm gonna get a hot dog and a soda for $1.50 and maybe a slice of pizza. And then yeah, that would taste good right away, but I'm gonna feel like crap right afterwards. I'm better off eating some of the food that I prepped in the fridge. Like you kind of always want to know. I'm on the go a lot. Like I work as a hiking guide, I work at different resorts, and I'm always on the go. I can't afford to spend money here, there, and everywhere else. And a lot of the times I don't have much time. So what can happen is, all right, I'm gonna stop at Wendy's, I'm gonna stop at whatever it is and get fast food. So I think it's important to set yourself up, grocery shop, do food prep, and have stuff readily available. Like I can't go, I don't have the time to go home now and prep something up. I spend like 1 or 2 days, you know, twice a week doing shopping and having stuff readily available.
I
If it's
love
not
it.
readily available, I'll make a poor decision, or just, you know, I don't have time and grab something.
Yeah, no, that's honestly really wonderfully said, and that's gonna be such helpful advice for most people listening. And even when you are, getting takeout or somewhere or going to Starbucks or Wendy's, it's great to have your quote unquote healthy go-tos. Like knowing that okay, if I go to Starbucks, they also have these egg white and turkey whatever muffins, or they also have the egg cups or so. Or if I go to Wendy's, they also have a grilled chicken wrap, as opposed like I don't need to get the double cheese whatever burger. I can get some sort of healthy alternative that does allow me to feel somewhat decent afterwards. But yeah, of course, being prepped, being prepared is always the better option. One thing I want to get back to was the importance of community that you kind of mentioned. You said that some people are going to be running parts of the races with you. Some people bring you food, and I think that's so beautiful. So, with anyone wanting to make change or wanting to get into a new sport or just being active in general, what could you advise them? How can they find or create a beautiful community like that?
Social media or like meetup, just Google, just like, running groups in whatever it is, Kalamazoo, Boston, Massachusetts, Phoenix, Arizona, and you'll find, or knitting, whatever it is, swimming, whatever the topic is, the sport or whatever it is, the activity, you'll find something. There's groups for everything now. And I didn't realize that. I just Googled like road when I was in Corning, New York, road running races in Waltham, Massachusetts, and then it said like RAW series. RAW, what does that stand for? Race Around Waltham. And then I found like within that there's within Waltham there was at least three different running groups within Waltham. Just being creative with your searches, and there's a lot of groups on Facebook. I know that too.
Yeah, I think sometimes we're too self-conscious and we're like, oh, well, I can't join that group. I'm starting at level zero. What are they going to think? Or how can I join in if they run, 4 miles on in their training sessions and I haven't run a single mile or whatever? But I think everyone's got to start somewhere. So people are going to be understanding. And if you tell them, or if you write a message like, hey, can I join in? I feel really uncomfortable with my level. Is that okay? Or so that they're going to welcome you with open arms in most cases, I would say.
Yeah, and like safety wise, like most running groups have this thing where no runner gets left behind, and they'll have different pace groups. Like we did one last night. So there's like the faster group that will go a little bit further, do a little bit more trails, and then a mid group that will go, a little bit faster, and then we call it like the super super fun group, or I call it like the super mega wicked mega. This awesome fun group. So it's a few more stops, a few more laughs. There's definitely like some shenanigans, and we cover 3 or 4 miles. We still get some fitness in too, but we always stop and make sure that there's nobody left behind. So we might also have somebody in the front and then somebody in the back, kind of as a sweeper. And we always encourage, not discourage, the slower runners. If you run, you're a runner. You're out there pushing yourself. It's much more than most people. Most people don't have the courage to even try to get off the couch. So.
That's a very, very good point. And lastly, because I want to make sure I'm respecting your time, Henry, but I would love to hear how you are currently working on your mindset. Is it like, for example, do you listen to podcasts while you run? Do you listen to
Oh, yeah.
anything? Do you read books? Do you have a mentor? What's something that you're using to kind of propel your mind forward as well?
Like while I'm running or just in general?
In general.
Yeah. So in general, I credit my wife to the person I am today. She sends me a lot of mindful stuff, whether it's on YouTube or a podcast, like, hey, listen to this, hey, watch that. So I spend my time, commuting from here to there, listening to podcasts and a lot of self-help, personal self-development stuff, spiritual stuff. We've taken courses online. My wife has taken a bunch in person. And I will listen to podcasts sometimes while I'm running. Certainly, like on the treadmill. I'm gonna do a 66.6 hour treadmill event called Satan Sidewalk. I've done it a few years, so I'll go through the whole spectrum of music and podcast, and we'll probably watch a few cartoons. But a lot of the time I'm just kind of listening to the voices in my head, or just being out in nature. Out here you got to watch for mountain bikes, snakes, coyotes, javelinas, whatever. Mostly snakes and mountain bikes, and I want to just kind of disconnect and kind of. That's where the creativity comes in. I start coming up with these great ideas, and perspective changes and mindset shifts about, I'm not sitting there out there dwelling on my problems or, poor me or anything like that. But when I'm disconnecting like that, I tell people the mountains are right there. I live right over there. I got a lot of problems like everybody else. When I come back, I have other solutions, or the problem seems so much smaller. So sometimes it's voices in my own head. If I'm running roads, I might listen to the podcast, or if I feel like, I like to listen to music that I can feel that kind of makes me move, I might listen to music. For a marathon distance, I like to listen to music for about half of it. Sometimes I want to depend, like the Boston, I want to hear the crowd. For Mesa, the crowds aren't as big as a bigger city marathon. I might listen a little bit more music. But yeah, I might listen to podcasts too, but it's not necessarily about running or fitness or nutrition or anything like that. It's more like personal self-development.
Awesome. I love it. You're utilizing the time well. And I also like what you said about just being present and taking in the atmosphere and that it's helping you find new solutions. I think that's something we can tap into just by walking or any kind of exercise as well. So, yeah, thank you so much for your time, Henry. It's been a true pleasure speaking with you and hearing about your story and how you've really turned your life around and how you're using it now to inspire other people. So truly, truly thank you.
I appreciate your time too, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Henry. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. One more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, life is too short to be in a body you don't feel good in.